This evening I'm going to read a gospel lesson from John 13. I'm going to read the first 17 verses, and then we'll read verses 34 and 35. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that's why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. A new commandment I give you: love one another as I've loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful evening. Lord, thank you for what this evening means. Lord, thank you most of all for serving us. Lord, thank you for giving us the perfect example of how we should serve each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus washes the disciples' feet. You see, foot washing was a common act back in Jesus' day. People's feet got dirty. They wore sandals. They walked on roads that animals also walked on. There was all kinds of things that would get picked up, and people's feet would get dirty. So it was common if someone invited someone over to their house for their feet to be washed. If this person had a servant, they would usually have the lowest servant wash the feet. You see, it's a good host serves the folks he's welcomed. Jesus gives us this perfect example by washing. And purifying. People he was teaching. Jesus' example of that servant leadership is still very important today. As we enter this weekend and remember what it's all about, I want us to think about how we should serve each other. The supper itself was important. It was Passover. Jesus was serving his disciples a meal. The term mandi actually comes from a Latin word that means that's mandatum, which means new commandment. It means that he's given them a commandment to serve each other. See, Jesus gives in John 13:34 when he says, he shows us the example of this new commandment. He says, I give you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should also love one another. And then in verse 35, Jesus says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. What an awesome act of kindness. What an awesome act of just a display of how much Jesus loved his disciples. You see, they've learned to receive. Jesus is now getting ready to send them to serve others, to set them apart for God to teach others how to receive service and how to serve each other. And again, Holy Communion is what I want to shift our focus to tonight. The Last Supper. The Last Supper. All three synoptic gospels have the accounts of this meal. The Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, the Eucharist are all names for this sacrament. Holy Communion is one of two sacraments that are recognized by the United Methodist Church, the other being baptism. And I know at Chestnut Hill, we usually receive the Holy Sacrament on the first Sunday of the month and at various times throughout the year, including Maundy Thursday. What's the significance of Holy Communion? See, the Lord's Supper reminds us that Jesus is the host and that we participate at Christ's invitation. Jesus invites us to take part in this special meal he ate with his disciples the night before his crucifixion. Again, Jesus already knew what was going to happen. Later on, when the supper was over, he goes to the garden. But even on his way to the garden, Jesus teaches a lesson. Jesus taught lessons all the way to the cross. When he's in the garden, he taught another lesson. At supper that night, he teaches a lesson. He shows his disciples how they should receive communion. And in our tradition, we have five parts of Holy Communion. And the first part is the invitation. Our communion liturgy begins with the words spoken on Jesus' behalf. And it's open to, the invitation is open to all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. That's who the invitation is for. Again, the invitation does not come from me. The invitation does not come from the church. The invitation comes from Christ. It's his table. It's not ours. The next part of our liturgy is the confession and pardon. During the confession and pardon, we prepare ourselves to offer a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving by repenting of sin and seeking to live in peace with one another. In other words, we repent of our sin. We turn our back on the sin and we start walking back to the cross. We start walking back to our Lord and Savior. Because he's the one, through his mighty acts, his perfect life, his resurrection, takes away our sin. After praying a prayer of confession, we share the words of pardon that remind us the grace that's freely available to all who repent. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. The peace then follows where we offer one another signs of reconciliation and love, affirming our desire to live as a reconciled community in Christ. The next part is the Great Thanksgiving. The Great Thanksgiving is the part of the service the pastor leads the congregation in a prayer called the Great Thanksgiving. We join in the ancient tradition of sacrifice by offering God our praise and thanksgiving for the wondrous gift of salvation. We offer ourselves and our gifts of bread and wine to God with thanksgiving. Then we ask for the Holy Spirit to be poured upon us and these gifts, that they may become for us the body and blood of Christ, nourishing us who have been redeemed by his blood, to be holy and of Christ in the world. We conclude the Great Thanksgiving by praising the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit before uniting our voices in the Lord's Prayer. The fourth part of our liturgy, of our sacrament of Holy Communion, is we receive. When the pastor serves communion, he'll say something like, the body of Christ given for you. Then he'll offer the cup and say, the blood of Christ given for you. And after we receive, we offer a prayer. Holy Communion brings together our worship and our work in the world. You see, when we leave this table, we're not supposed to leave the same way we came in. We should be leaving as forgiven and transformed people, ready to serve the world, just like the scripture we just read says that we're supposed to love one another. To love one another, we must serve one another. I hope and pray that you've received the importance of these two very important acts that Jesus showed us. I want you to remember that Jesus humbled himself as a servant, knowing that he was going to be betrayed, denied, and handed over. As his followers, we're called to show the same type of love and grace to everyone. I want us to remember that Maundy Thursday's true meaning is a mandate that Jesus gave his disciples to follow him. In John 13:34, he said to them, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the significance of this holy sacrament, Lord. Thank you for sending your only Son to be our perfect example of what servant leadership should look like, what pure, perfect love should look like. In Jesus' name.